Welcome to the Printing Press Lost Book Club podcast number 11. Sorry we had to take a week off, but turkey dinners meant more to Brian and Karen than spending time with me down here in the hatch. I was alone. Sad. This week we will discuss mirrors, sleeping, dreaming, and oh yeah, Through the Looking Glass, the continuation to Alice in Wonderland. Karen, now this Alice girl, when will we read about someone normal? Reading between the lines so you don't have to, Brian and Karen.
One pill makes you larger, and one pill makes you small. And the ones that mother gives you don't do anything at all. Go ask Alice when she's 10 feet tall.
All right. We are now doing podcast number 11. This is the Printing Press. It's a Lost Book Club. I am Brian Quain, and with me as always is... Say hi, Karen.
Hi, Karen.
There you go. So, we again, like the narrator says, sorry about the delay, but we are here. We're not going to leave you stranded. We're not going to leave you stranded like our castaways on the island. They are stranded. We are not. Everything's been good. I hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. Did you? Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Yes, it was very, very nice. We watched a couple of movies, of course. We watched Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
So did we.
Yeah. Did you really?
Yes.
Oh my God!
Nothing like having Jason Segel's penis in
for
Thanksgiving. You know, nothing like having that at the right after a good turkey dinner. You could go and see his penis in a few. It was our second time seeing it, and I actually liked it better a second time, which is very hard for me to do. I mean, I love the whole crew and Apatow family. I've always loved them since Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah.
But, it was actually better a second time around. I was shocked.
It was really good. It was entertaining. I'm literally still full from last week. It's a lot. I mean, it doesn't take a lot to get me full, but, oh, my gosh. I hope I just can digest everything before the Italian feast of Christmas.
Oh, can we come over, please?
Lots of cooking. It's just way too much. You think I have a lot of food here just on a Sunday. You should be here for an Italian Christmas.
I'd love to. That was Jefferson Airplane. I think you all recognize that song. It's Grace Slick, you know, telling you to go ask Alice, and it's a real messed up mind fuck that we got going on there. And good job, Disney, making it
and
into
they,
a...
And they have the airplane is in the title.
Oh! Damn it! You get me on that every time, I swear. You did, you got me on that one. So, we gotta get through some things in our first segment, as we usually do. We talk about what's upcoming, and, we have a few things upcoming. We have a season of Lost upcoming six weeks?
Yeah.
So that's good, January 21st. I don't think we were able to announce that. We had a thought that it might be January 21st, but it's confirmed. January 21st, 3-hour event, all night on ABC, Lost premieres. So we're very excited about that. And next Tuesday... we have a DVD box set coming out of the last season, season 4, on Blu-ray as well, which, of course, I know you and I will be getting.
Yeah.
And, I don't know many extras.
It's time, no less. Come on.
Every December. They do this. First week of December. Didn't they do this first week of December last year, too?
Yeah, I kind of feel like the American audience has to do quite a bit of waiting all the time, you know.
Always.
We do. But I do know we do have some pretty cool things to look forward to in the DVD as far as extras and things. You know, I'm always into that whole behind the scenes thing.
Until
I can actually go like walk on the island myself and see things with my own eyes, I have to live vicariously through DVD extras.
I've always had a lot of with the season 3 one. They had that, you actually had like that, not soundboard, but you could actually go into, what was it called? I can't remember. It was like you controlled your remote and you could watch certain segments. And like, I know Jeff Jensen was on there. We had like insight from people as well, like critics, but it was a lot of fun. If nobody has picked up these DVD box sets, why are you even listening to this? Because that means you haven't even rewatched. And if you're not rewatching, then why are you listening to this? Because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Because... I don't know how many times you and I have rewatched, and now rereading and rewatching again, re-listening, re-everything. It's re. Do it again, do it again, do it again.
Well, because we have to be in that loop, you know. We have to just be in a constant state doing it over, you know.
And something tells me we're going to be doing that in the next segment when we actually go through Alice in Wonderland. So we got through this book. Now we have to go on to our next book, which will be Christmas Carol. Lewis Carroll, ha, ha ha ha. See, I got that on the phone earlier. So
Carol.
Yeah, so I have to do that now.
Who the hell is Carol?
Yeah, who is this? And December 16th, we will have a new podcast. We would like to make sure everybody reads this because I'll tell you, it's a pamphlet. It's really what? It's a brochure long. It's the easiest.
It's so tiny. It's an easy read. Yeah.
So we'll have that. I mean, December 16th. And we'll have something at the end of the year. We'll definitely have something at the end of the year where we're gonna tackle the whole book of A Christmas Carol. I think we should definitely do that in the 16th because it's so short. I mean, it's like, what, three chapters of really, if you think about it. And then we're just going to have like a big thing at the end of the year. So I think that would be perfect. Yeah, we should do that. Also, we are getting people asking us, which I think is nice, but like, who are we? Who are we? And getting a few of these recently, you know, as we've been doing this, it hit me that more have come in, and it's like, I don't mind telling you who we are, and thank you for asking, but we have been doing this for a while, right, Karen? We have been giving the love and the insight of this show for a while.
It's all about the love.
See, I thought there were fans of Lost, and as much as we give our insight and everything we know about it through our blogs that we've been doing for, what, 2 years now?
Yeah, a long time.
It's like, oh wait, there are people that actually don't know who we are, and now they're fans of ours, and it's like, what? So thank you, fans of Lost, for being fans of ours, when we're fans of Lost, and we're friends of yours now. So I'm gonna give a little insight of you. How is that? I'm gonna give a little brief history of Karen. I'm gonna
you
do the Stephen Hawking.
Turn the favor.
Yeah, here it is. I'm gonna do the Stephen Hawking, a brief history of Karen. I know you through Lost, obviously. We became friends, I think it was a local thing, more or less. It was definitely, wow, we both live in Florida. But it was also the fact that you were just as crazy as I am about trying to figure out everything that has been going on in this show. Now, mind you, I had not been watching the show since the beginning. I jumped on from the box sets of season one and season two, going straight into season three. So, I know you from working together in the mind of getting everything going, and then we both started blogging and putting up our thoughts, and you sent me these pictures that you were making, and I think everybody was getting these pictures, and that's how I'm sure, now everybody's going, oh, that's her, that is Karen, those pictures that you are getting that she makes. You make these yourself, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. From there, all my friends started realizing who you were, and we started talking. And this is actually funny, is the first time I ever talked to you was the Ben-centric episode, The Man Behind the Curtain, that our friend Bobby Roth directed. And my mom just flew into town that day, and that morning when I was writing the blog, and I said, Mom, go lay on the couch. She was watching the show, and she looked at it, and she goes, this is fucked up. It was the scene where we first see Jacob, and my mom goes, literally, she's like, you watch this? I'm like, yeah. And she goes, this is really fucked up. And I go, yeah. And I get a call from you. Now, my mom was in town. Why was my mom in town?
Oh, my God. This is the day before your wedding, or it's right before you're getting married.
Yeah, this was the Friday, because wasn't Lost on a Thursday at that time? So this was the Friday morning that I am writing my blog to have it up for you guys at 10 a.m. every Friday, Eastern
Standard
Time.
Because you were
going
to go get married.
I remember, but I am getting married in a few more hours. So it was really funny. And then we became, so you started the blogging. You started doing more of this blogging. Holy shit, have you grown. Like, I remember, look what we have done. I wrote two paragraphs in my first blog where I was like, did you guys see that? Now look at us. Look at us. We have... I mean, yes, I take a hiatus as well, but this is what the hiatus is for, what we're doing. So, that's how I know you. And ever since, we've been inseparable Lost friends. Not even Lost friends, we've been family, you know?
Yeah.
So it's been awesome.
Yeah, Lost brought us together, and that pretty much, we have the same recall about how we kind of got brought together. Lost brought us together. Yeah, it was. We kind of were turned on to each other's blogs. Your insight to things was fantastic, and I know that fans were. I don't even know why they would write me and say, why don't you write down your ideas, tell, you know, your theories, your this,
you
that.
You know why?
Who cares what the hell I think?
Yeah, because I remember you were giving so much insight on other people's blogs that it was like, all right, now it's time for you to do one. And I remember there was the whole, like, you know, we started noticing other people were getting blogs, and it was like, oh, do I even do the recap? Because I think I still am the only person that recaps by the time you're getting your coffee at work.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
You know, I know Jeff Jensen has his. Yeah, I know Jeff Jensen has his. But I do the, what we just seen or what we just saw. And I'm like, you know, what I got out of. I think I started calling my blog what I got out of. And it was like the name of that episode, blog. And, I mean, I'm telling you, when you started yours, forget it. It was just like letting the horse out of the stable and, or, you know, like, you just went off. You took off. And now there is no finish line. I think we, you know, with. This show.
It took on a life of its own, and because what happened was, although I was kind of replying to other people's blogs, and I was a reader of yours, and as I started to leave my little thoughts on things, I think that the turning point for me was, it was when the whole further instructions thing came out, and I was on my kind of my soapbox about the lock vision. It was at that point that was my impetus to go back and put all the notes that I had written all the whole time, all the way through.
And yeah, you've been taking
there
notes
is
for a
more
while.
Notes than, I mean, Brian, you've been in my house. I have Tupperwares full of research and notes.
Yeah, she does. She really does, people. Yeah.
So it's just, I think it was at that point where it was like, okay, I could do this. I have all the information. I already took all the notes already. So now let's just put it out there. And I did. So it kind of took on a life of its own.
Yeah, and you're also known as the queen of Lost on MySpace. But also, I think you could scratch out the MySpace at this point. You have become the queen of Lost. You're on a few podcasts. I mean, this is a book club, yes. And we do have that certain insight and news. Yeah, we gave news. Whoop-de-doo. We gave people know when the season's coming out. People already know when the DVD's coming out. But we do give that little, we're not going to be like, oh my god, guess who's on the island right now? You do have that with Anil on the ODI. Yeah. So you have moved from these pictures all the way down to look at you. You have come in like, it's amazing, and I congratulate you. I stick to what I know. I stick to my guns. I stick to my what happened last night on this episode, and I like to read. And I love to read. So this
yeah,
is, I
you
love
know,
what we
it
do.
Does. Both of I have a great time. I love doing the podcast with you. You know that we have a great time when we sit and do this, and we just get to get totally absorbed in how you and I may look at the show. Okay.
Right.
I mean, and that's totally cool. And how I do things with over at the ODI, it is a completely different part of the Lost take on it.
And isn't
there.
It nice that a show can actually have so many channels? Have so many, yeah, it's kind of like having a deck of cards. You will never get the same suit, or, you know, the same number twice with a different character, you know. This show, you could keep flipping cards with, it's like, you could do a book club, you could do a news thing, you could do a, I mean, this show has, like, theories and polls and da-da-da-da. This is a show that can do that, and I love it. And you people should, please, 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 if you don't know who we are, wow, I'm just going to whore myself and say you can find us on our MySpaces. We have tons of thoughts, and this is my own personal MySpace, and I'm going to let you guys know that my own personal MySpace and Lost might be coming to an end, and I'm going to see what happens on January 22nd, you know, and it is my birthday that week too, so I'm so excited. Vanessa and I are going to probably have to have like a huge, big birthday Lost thing that week, like we have to. Mine's the 19th, she's the 26th, so it's kind of like weird. And then Lost is in the 21st. But please, go to our MySpaces, myspace.com/bquain. My blog is up there. Karen, you're at?
I'm at myspace.com/DivaDisney. That's my main page, and then you could read all the blogs in the blog section, or you could actually go to my official Karen's Lost Notebook .blogspot and find them all there as well. So we're kind of everywhere. If you're going to get the DVDs, you want to refresh your memories on what happened in the episode, if there's details, if you need a little bit of a study guide, check out both of our blogs. We offer different views on an episode, but I'd say we offer quite a bit of detail between the both of us.
Yeah, definitely, and I love
and it. Yeah, totally cool. Okay,
so here we go.
The favor, though. I have to return the favor about what I know about you, Mr. Quain.
Although I already said everything.
No, well, even though Lost brought us together, you're the movie thing. So our circle, although it is Lost that brought us together, as we're discovering, because we're both in some form of entertainment.
That's true.
Our circle actually now encompasses all of that.
Yeah,
and that is your business. You're in the movie business, and this is why I think Lost is such a creative process in every sense of the word. This is why you love it. It's not just a thinking show, but it's absolutely so creative that us creative types are just absolutely drawn to it.
My mother always says to me, when it comes down to a film, every frickin' time, and she's the one who introduced me to the whole independent and foreign cinema that I do now, is when I see a film, she says I see it differently. And that's, I dissect the film, which mm-hmm. I have to. That's my company. That's my business, is we dissect films. It's like, hey, here, you're giving us a film. This is what needs to be changed. Do you want to get into a film festival or not? And that's what we do. And I have to, but I've always been doing that even before film school. And and Lost, you do that, so it's a definite must with that show. You have to. So and it
but
is.
I do want to say too that this is important, Brian, because you glossed over this little part about how your friends kind of realized who I was through my silly Lost pictures and everything. But I do want the people out there to realize and know that I have been known as Crazy Karen.
Yeah, you have, and that's what I love about you, because seriously. I've been going my whole life. Does that guy ever stop?
Crazy Queen.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. I've always heard that my whole life. Crazy Queen. It's like, thank you. And I know both. I know you and I probably. Whenever time we hear we're crazy, we're like, okay. But it's true. You know, we are. With that insight, you know who we are. That's our history. And find us and please accept us to be some kind of Lost know-it-alls. Not really. But we're reading between the lines, so you don't have to.
That's absolutely it. We're here to just see if maybe we can give you a little bit different perspective on things.
And we like to connect things, as the way I'm going to connect this next band we're about to listen to. They're called Not a Surf. And what's funny is my friend Christopher James is on the island of Lost. I don't know if he's still there, but he was there last week for the past week or two, and he was surfing. I'm not going to say with who or what he was doing. I don't know yet. But, hey, he was surfing, and I hope he's doing better. And he'll understand if he listens. And the band we're about to hear is called Not a Surf. You remember them with a song called Popular, which came out in, I think, 95, 96. They're off the map, kind of like our plane, our Oceanic 815. And what happened was the band had the album called Let Go. That hit to a whole indie crowd. And then the next album, they had A Weight as a Gift, which they worked with Death Cab for Cutie's producer Chris Walla, who brought in this song we're about to hear now, In the Mirror. So there you go, Not a Surf, In the Mirror. Karen, why In the Mirror?
Well, through the looking glass.
Woo! Here we go.
This is more like a mirror image story of the Alice in Wonderland. I want to say that this book is filled with confusing gibberish, nonsense, and fantasy.
And
things do not make sense, just like in our own dreams. Okay, I want to give you Karen's quick review on dreams. If you're a reader of my blog, you know I've been here, but I'll give you a quick shorty a bit about it. When the dreamer is lucid, they can actively participate in and manipulate the imagery and imagery experiences in the dream environment. Lucid dreams can be extremely real and vivid depending on the person's level of self-awareness during the lucid dream. In these types of dreams, there is no perception of real or reality time. Time can be in day or night, day of the week, month, or even year can be eschewed. You don't know what year you're in, what month you're in, what way, day, week, whatever. Clocks do not show proper time or night, no time at all. Signs can be misspelled. Items in buildings and surroundings are disordered. Remember that Jack can't recall Colleen's time of death in the OR because there is no clock or sense of time.
And Saeed, let's not forget, Saeed also, when he was in the German bar, meeting Elsa, I think it was, her name was, something like that. Yeah. What happened there? Things on the menu, very misspelled. Yep. Very misspelled.
Yep, exactly. Also, the dreamer cannot determine how long they've been in the dream. You can't determine how long a dream has gone on. The context of the dream, the place or situations in the dreams are strange and includes fictional characters or places. The context of Desmond's flashes in his episodes, he reads the sign that the word honor is misspelled. The apartment shows imagery of the island, like the 108 on the timer. The delivery guy has a package for 8:15. The painting in Widmore's office, or, you know, ends up a mirror image on the other side of the wall. Items in the room are changed, stuff like that. Also, in a lucid dream form, the dreamer, another character or object, can change shapes. It's oddly formed or can transform. This includes the presence of unusual clothing, hair, or a third person's view of the dreamer. And there's also times in a lucid dream when the dreamer can feel paralyzed. Anyway, back to Alice. Mira. Alice walks through a mirror. She pretends that the glass is soft and mist-like, and she walks through it. She imagines everything in the mirror world exactly how it is in reality, but opposite in visual perspective. Alice can be seen in the looking glass on the opposite side when she's actually in the mirror, okay? She can be seen, but she can't be gotten to. So even though you could see her in the mirror, you can't get to her. I feel the islanders are being watched all the time, too, almost in that sense, where behind a two-way mirror, okay?
Yeah, remember how I kept saying, oh, we got watchers? I mean, Jim DeSantis' favorite thing, when I was coming up with the lost coin terms, watchers was one of the biggest things.
Yep.
Always. There's always somebody watching.
They are being watched, okay? But where are they being watched from and by whom? Another thing Alice mentions is she feels invisible. Important thing in the story is language. We have Jabberwocky in our story of Through the Looking Glass. It looks and sounds like a foreign language, but it's really just backwards. There are many clues to some of the island residents understanding other languages or not understanding other languages. So language and linguistics is how I tie that into the lost story. Time running backwards in Through the Looking Glass book. Time in lucid dreams, again, is non-existent. The dreamer cannot determine proper time. Perspective of time is fucked up, people. Keep that in mind. Chess. Here we go. Da, 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 da. Chess is one of the many themes in Through the Looking Glass. In the story, Alice enters a giant chessboard and meets several chess pieces. She herself is a white pawn, but she'll become the queen by the end of the story, of course. The characters are giant life-size chessboard pieces and are represented by the ranks of the chess pieces. This part of the story is told by chess moves of red and white. Many chess experts feel that the chess problem is seriously flawed from a chess player's perspective. This problem has 10 moves. I sent you over a diagram of what it looks like, so we'll post it in the blog.
Yeah, we'll have it in the blog.
Kind of see what that looks like.
Right.
Just so they could see. We have clues to the island residents being involved in a chess game of sorts, complete with black and white, two sides, changing sides, pawns, castling, all kinds of chess terms are all over our story.
And, I even feel that. They're even being maneuvered on a chessboard.
Absolutely.
As we're watching them from, let's say, a bird's eye view.
Absolutely. And they were actually placed, in my opinion, in certain positions as if you would set pieces on a game board. Okay?
Exactly.
And we'll get to that after. We also have a nod to twins, Tweedledum and Tweedledee. But the book ends, and this is very, 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 very important to Karen only, okay?
No, I feel you on this. I agree with you completely.
Okay? The book ends with Alice questioning who, quote-unquote, dreamed this dream. Was it her or the Red King? So, who did the dreaming? I find that interesting.
Well, who's doing the sleeping, really? And we see many people. I mean, I know in the last episode, in the last podcast, we mentioned that Jack wakes up in the season finale. He's sleeping when we see him, you know, on the plane. There's many cases we hear wake up, we hear get up, we hear...
Almost in every episode, someone is being told to wake up.
Yeah.
Like here, in Missing Pieces, number 5, the Operation Sleeper.
Yeah, and everybody, Missing Pieces was this thing from last summer that Lost put out little deleted scenes, if you will.
They were like missing puzzle pieces.
Yeah, that's why they called them Missing Pieces, because they were little hints to the puzzle of Lost. there were little scenes, and you could probably, we'll see if we could find them for you.
Yeah. And keeping in mind that Through the Looking Glass, again, brings us back to the whole dreaming, lucid dreaming, things going on in their head things. I was brought back to Operation Sleeper, that particular Missing Pieces. Juliet actually claims to Jack, I've been living Benjamin Linus's dream for 3 years. 3 years. It's time to wake up. And I found that totally relating to our Through the Looking Glass story. Very, very short, quick notes about Lewis Carroll himself, people. This is really important. Not only do you see that the story of Through the Looking Glass, dream, sleeping in your head, out of perspective, perspective is totally askewed all the time. Lewis Carroll loved math, numbers, and numerology. His favorite number was 42.
Right.
He loved to invent puzzles, but he wasn't a cryptologist. He loved riddles. With that said, I want to kind of let you know that it's believed that he hid clues and codes in the chess game diagram. That's why I sent it to you. And it's through the years, it's been a quest of many of Lewis Carroll fans to maybe decode and dissect the chess clues that they feel were left in that diagram. Also to note about Lewis Carroll is he lived with his family in an isolated country village. In his diary, he also recorded experiences of his migraine headache episodes, describing when he had the episode manifestations of the aura stage of these migraine syndromes. We also know that the perspective disorder, the brain disorder I talked about last week, it's actually called Alice in Wonderland syndrome. It is a brain condition affecting the way people perceive objects and how it's perceived in the mind. Lewis Carroll also had seizures and lost consciousness often. And these are things to hints happening within the brain. I've mentioned this a million times. And one of his earliest poems is called Solitary. There is rumor, I have not been able to find fact at all about this, but there is rumor, and in my research about Lewis Carroll himself, is that he staged his own death.
Ah, get out of here. That I didn't know. Really?
I kid you not.
Ay, ay, ay. That's
what I found. But, you know, saying that there are pieces on a chessboard comes back to what, Brian? Our very first...
Oh, no. Well, it was our... I think you and I, when theorizing everything, was our first... When we really talked, we were like, our first theory is these guys are being played like a chess game. And, mm-hmm. Yeah, this is something that Karen and I have not let up, and is every time we're reading something... Like, seriously, every month, I think it has been Science Field delivered. They are a chess... This is a chess game being played on this island. I mean... I feel that that is our characters. And that was one of the first things we ever talked about. It was like a few months went by where we were both like, I remember exactly calling you going, I haven't played chess yet, have you? And it was like, I remember calling you going, do you get chess? And then I had my friend Zach come finally teach me how to play. So, and he's back in town, so I need to call him. I need to play chess.
You know, the chess game is a very, very intense intellectual game. I mean, it is a lot of strategy. It's a lot of, anticipating another move. You know, it's a very intellectual game. And yet we're tying in this unbelievably sophisticated intellectual game in with things that part of our story has to deal with consciousness, okay? And you would need to be pretty lucid and conscious if you're going to play a chess game. So how these layers are all going to fit together, I don't really know. But, you know, consciousness, people, we've heard Damon and Carlton mention consciousness many, many times. Consciousness itself is a mental state. It's your way of perceiving your relationship between yourself and anything else, okay? It's your own. Consciousness is it's your own personal thing, your own personal perception on things. One of the philosophers about consciousness and your state of consciousness is the philosopher John Locke. Okay, so
yeah, don't get too much more into it because we are way after the 30 mark now.
Yeah,
we were doing so good, and then chess came up. I was like, no, chess. Chess is going to be the death of me because I want to play. I've been really wanting to play, but we are at the 30 mark, and I hate doing this to you people because this is what Karen and I do, and I hope you're getting addicted to it as much as we do. Because we do. We really do. We get so into it. But thank you again for this week. And it seems like we need to be doing this every week, not bi-weekly. But that might be hard. Let me tell you, that might be really hard for me. But I love doing this. I love doing this. And 2 weeks out of a month is not enough time. Thank you again. This was awesome. This was awesome. And remember, everybody, read A Christmas Carol. It is your next one. Pick it up. It's so easy to pick up while you're shopping. You know, get it while you're out. And anything to say?
You can read it online.
Yeah, you could easily read it online. You could easily read it online. It's so short. It's up everywhere. So, again, Karen, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Brian, very, very much. I hope I get to see you and Vanessa soon.
You will. Definitely, you will. Very soon.
We'll have another podcast before they know it. So, everybody, leave your questions, your comments, and we thank you so much for your support.
We're having a blast. Yeah, you can email us at thelostbookclub@yahoo.com. Find us on Facebook. Find us on MySpace, The Printing Press. Again, you're at Podomatic. theprintingpress.podomatic.com. And this is where you can listen or even subscribe on iTunes. We're on there. So thank you, everybody, and we will see you in 2 weeks. Namaste.
Namaste.